All rise. Honorable Judge Graham presiding.
This is the LittyReadyRun.com podcast for October 3rd, 2007. I've never presided before, thank you.
Well, it's quite pleasant.
Wouldn't you be Judge Stark as opposed to Judge Graham?
Not in this case.
Unless we're on a first-name basis, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless,
cool.
In Graham's court, anything goes.
He's a judge in the Judge Judy sense as opposed to the actual judge sense.
Yeah. I'm like Judge Fudge. I can't rule on your case. I'm too busy being delicious. Judge Fudge. So, this week's video was The Divorce. Which came about very, very rapidly, sort of like one of our older videos in terms of the time passed from inception to final product. I cannot for the life of me remember what we were talking about that came up with the idea. I think we were talking about like dealing with roommates or something, or like dirty dishes or something, and I thought it'd be entertaining to try and divorce Bill or Morgan.
Mm.
I think that was it, maybe?
Yeah, that's yeah. Right.
Okay. And then, yeah, wrote the idea down, didn't do anything with it, then decided that we should, and so we did. Yep. The best part was we didn't, we were like, okay, we have to shoot this tomorrow, we don't have a judge's uniform, what do we do? And I was at school all day, so Paul ended up, were you at a meeting downtown or something?
Yeah, I had a meeting downtown in the morning, and so I stopped by Tony's Trick and Joke Shop. Which is actually not Tony's Trick and Joke Shop anymore.
I know, they got bought by someone else.
Somebody else's Trick and Joke Shop.
Really? It's so sad. I wish they kept the name.
It's like Joe Bob's.
So Tony Yang isn't running it anymore?
No, it got bought about a year ago, actually. Around the time we were doing live, I went in there and it had just recently been purchased.
Lame.
Yeah. In our hearts, though, it will always be Tony's Trick and Joke Shop.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, that's like a place where they've got magic tricks and costumes and stuff.
Formerly run by a local magician.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible that it's still run by a local
It's still being run by a local magician, just a different magician.
Oh, okay then.
But I went in there and I go, we need like a wig, like a judge wig. And then so he goes and picks up this box that says judge wig on it. Oh, okay. Well, I guess that would be the thing to go for then.
Yeah, so Paul sends me a text message that he has it, which I received in class. And I'm like, yes, perfect, because I was afraid we were going to be able to find it. Then we went downtown after I was off class. Paul and I went downtown to Value Village, which has already put out all of its Halloween stuff, of course. And we found we found an executioner costume that comes with a hood and like a helmeted metal thing and a belt. But the robes by themselves worked pretty well. Mm-hmm. So that's what Paul's wearing.
Mm. So in a rather literal sense, he was judge, jury, and executioner.
I suppose he was, wasn't
Whoa.
He? We also
I wasn't jury, though. I was just judge and executioner.
Mm-hmm. We also spent $70 on unrelated props because we figured that they might come in handy at some point.
You'll probably see the vast majority of those in upcoming videos.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you will.
Hopefully.
Anyway. Otherwise, you wasted a bunch of money.
I mean, some of them we figured, you know, this is bound to come in handy. Some of them we actually had ideas for. Anyway, problem was the number of people. We didn't have as many people as we wanted because James was busy, Ben was busy. So as I mentioned on the blog, Ash didn't actually know she was going to be in this video until a couple hours beforehand.
She stole my role.
And she stole Jer's role.
I think she did a very good job with it, so I'm not really complaining. Mm.
Jer wasn't really using it anyway.
Right.
Yes, you were saying?
I was under the impression that it was James's role that she stole, and I was going to say that it's sort of the opposite of what happened for the Pimp My Chair, which is...
Oh, yeah, because that was going to be Ash originally.
That was going to be Ash's role. James stole it and did it fantastically, and then this one, Ash stole it and did it fantastically.
Yeah, originally James was going to be one of the lawyers because he played the lawyer in Y, and we enjoyed that lawyer, so we're going to have either that's the same character or just James playing a lawyer. Wasn't going to be there, so... Huh?
I like Ash a lot better than you, James.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
But, Ash did a great job on this one. She's actually, like, she's come in and, pinch hit for us quite a few times.
And rocked at
and,
it, too.
Yeah, and the
best
really,
part was,
really great job.
Was I took, like, a hajillion takes doing my opening lines. Because Morgan and I did that whole opening section with the really fast editing. We actually did that all from a different angle in one go in case we wanted to use it that way, or in case I wanted to edit it that way. Which we didn't, so it ended up being a waste of time. But it took us like a whole bunch of takes to get that done. Then it took Matt a whole bunch of takes to get his lines done. During that time, Ash had been reading her first line. So she sat down, did it in one go, and made us all look like chumps.
Yeah. This whole concept of reading her lines while other people are doing theirs, very unsettling.
I don't know. I think we should ban her from doing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically the idea for the video, which I'm sure it comes across, was that just to completely sideline Morgan with this and just be talking over him, not letting him get a word in, and just completely overrunning him with dialogue and input from all angles and just not giving him time to react until he finally explodes. Which is why, actually, I wanted to edit the video like that with the really choppy cuts in the beginning. One, because it's more sort of interesting and is kind of disjointed. But two, it gives the viewer the same sort of impression that Morgan is getting, which is just really not being able to understand what's going on right away. Which I think worked pretty well, since a couple people were like, the editing in the front was kind of disorienting. Which...
totally intentional.
Yeah, except in this case, we're not just covering for it. It was totally intentional for it to be disorienting. So I thought it worked out pretty well. A couple people were talking about, was it done with two cameras or two separate takes?
We don't have two cameras.
No. Someone else brought
one
up.
One very skillful camera.
Well, we actually do. We do have two cameras, but the other one sucks.
Someone brought that up, that we don't have two of the same visual quality. So, but
although if anyone wants to buy us another HDR FX1, if you want to see
two camera shoots, then go ahead and do that.
We'll use them. So what we ended up doing is. What I ended up doing in the editing is cutting back and forth between two takes, but all the dialogue in a given shot is from one take or the other so that the sound doesn't jump.
Right, yeah.
But it just works out that because by that point I'd been doing those lines over and over again so much that I could do them the same way both times and the lips actually synced up. So it worked out okay.
Yeah.
And then what else was there later on in the video? I'm trying to remember here. Anyone else can jump in.
Ash had a very interesting shirt on.
She did.
I think that's been covered to hell.
It's been exhausted.
People on the forums. There are girls on the internet. You're just gonna have to learn to live with it.
I really like the person who posted the comic.
Yeah,
that was whoever. Yes. I can't remember who it is at the moment, but that was amazing.
Yeah, well timed.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's from the Aaron Brockovich school. Yeah, a lawyer. Actually, I agree with Morgan. Is if Ash was playing a lawyer on TV, that's what that lawyer would dress like.
I think if she was a real, actual lawyer with a law degree defending people, I still think that's what she would wear. Like,
yeah, you're probably right.
She'd just be wearing it under her robe.
No, I think that's what she'd be wearing. And I think she'd be winning a lot of cases.
Only in the very high Supreme Court.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
And it was brought up that judges don't actually wear wigs that much in Canada. But, obviously you have no sense of tradition.
In Britain, though, I don't know if anyone here has watched Kavanaugh QC, but it's riveting stuff.
Yeah, every all judges wear wigs, okay?
Yeah, it's just comedy narrative, Like, if nothing else, we can say that, it's a Monty Python reference, which it really isn't, but it's just...
Well, it's...
It's instant...
just funny, SDFU.
It's instant visual recognition. Oh, yeah, that's a judge.
Right, right.
Yeah. And Jared the Bailiff was good, wearing a...
It was like a Purelator or something.
Purelator Courier t-shirt or something.
With a police badge draped over the pocket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it worked out.
That's pretty much it. I mean, it was a pretty simple video.
Mm-hmm. So, fun, though.
Indeed. And damn, I look snappy in that suit.
It's true.
In James'
suit. Too bad
suit.
It's not your suit.
Yeah. Fuck you, Matt.
It's not Matt's suit, but he brings the sexy to it.
I really do.
But as discussed in the forum, not as much as I.
It's true.
I don't know, James. You've got some stiff competition.
We'll have to have a James
emphasis
v.
on stiff.
James v. Matt, split screen, sexy back dance off.
Sexy off. Let's never film that.
Let's film that. It'd be so easy. It'd be like a 10-minute shoot, and it'd be hilarious.
Too late. It's already been filmed.
I think filmed. The comedy versus amount of time invested
right
is
now.
The best ratio.
It'll just take like 20 minutes and, 2-6. So.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You guys like Jägermeister?
moving on.
Moving on.
What we're playing now?
What are we playing now?
Well, let's be serious.
I was playing Halo.
Halo.
You know what? I have had no time to play Halo, but I'm I think I'm close to the end of Jeanne d'Arc. It just keeps going, which is not bad, because it's really, really good. I also picked up Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops the other day, which is really good.
Is that similar to...
It is the PSP follow-up to Snake Eater. So it happens 6 years after Snake Eater.
Oh, neat. So it's actually a new story.
It's not a new story. It's a continuation of the Naked Snake story. So...
But it's actually in regular canon, unlike the Acid games, which aren't.
Right.
Or Ghost Babel, which wasn't. Too.
Right.
Ghost Babel and the Acid games are in the same canon.
Okay. Are they?
Well, they're made by the same director.
They are made by the same director.
Ghost Babel was just sort of a remake of the first one.
Not really, no.
Game Boy Color.
I played through Ghost Babel. It's a sequel to the original. Like the Ghost Babel happens between Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake.
Oh, I thought it was just sort of a remake, but with differences.
It has a lot of the concepts of the first one, but it's, as I say, it's between Metal Gear and the sequel on the MSX.
The Acid series are very weird.
They are weird.
They're good, good.
Portable Ops, really cool. It has a lot of the stuff from Snake Eater, so you can do CQC and all that. That all carries over.
Nice.
You can. The weird thing about it is that you can actually knock guys out and drag them back to your A-team van. And recruit them.
Huh.
So, like, you've got Colonel Campbell, and he drives the A-team van around.
What?
and Snake and his accomplices basically go out, trank guards, drag them back to the van, interrogate them, and, like, slap them up until they switch sides, and then they join your team and help you out.
Huh. So is it actually like a squad thing?
Yeah, what's the actual gameplay style of it?
It is like Metal Gear, but you can have a bunch of I think four dudes on your squad at once, and you switch off between them. So anywhere that you are in the level, if you look, you've got a map that you can pull up, and it'll show you little X's on your map that are hiding points. So if you're near a hiding point, you can choose to hide in one, in which case your current character jumps into a cardboard box and sits at the hiding point, and your new character jumps out of the van, or like you select which character you want to activate, but a new character jumps out of the van or whatever cardboard box they're hiding in and starts doing other stuff. And one of the really neat things about that is a lot of the characters have different abilities. So you've got, like, rescuers who are experts at dragging tranked foes back to your A-team van. Or you've got, like, medics and things like that who are better at healing people, or guys who are better with machine guns and handguns and things like that. It's well done, and it's done with a subsistence engine, so it's all 3D camera, which is also kind of neat.
Oh, wow. So it actually is, like, the graphics and everything are just as good as subsistence?
They're not just as good. I mean, it's the PSP, so there's a definite drop there. But, I mean, it looks really nice for a PSP game. And actually, the cutscenes are really neat because they're done in the style of the digital graphic novel.
Oh, okay.
Except for, like, they're voiced over by the normal cast. From Snake Eater era cast,
right.
But they are done by done in the digital graphic novels, or even in the original graphic novel style, by what is his name?
Chris something?
The Australian guy who is really awesome, and I should know the name of, but I am drawing a blank.
His first name is Chris, right?
I don't think it's Chris.
With the K? Well, he did the Metal Gear Solid graphic novel.
Yeah, but I don't think it's Chris.
Anyway,
Chris cool. Olprusky or something. Or?
That might be the writing.
Oh, okay.
The art is the... I don't remember who did the art.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, it's awesome.
One day I will own a PSP again, and I will play that game.
It's worth looking into.
Cool.
And I am actually the only person among the crew who has as yet beaten Halo 3. I beat it on normal. I'm moving on to hard and multiplayer, or heroic, and the multi stuff now.
And the ending was not a disappointment.
As compared to Halo 2, at least, the ending was not a disappointment.
Sadly, that's not saying much.
In that there was an ending?
In that there was actually an ending, it didn't suck.
The fight did finish.
In all fairness, we were planning on all getting together on the weekend and doing a giant four-player run through
Legendary.
Yeah. But I'm annoyed that didn't happen.
But now, and I can't participate now because my live membership ran out today.
Ooh. Guess who still hasn't ever paid for
Shut
a year
up, Matt.
Of live?
Oh, and now you're broadcasting it.
You'll catch up to me one
what
day.
What are they going to do?
Hey, Larry, I know you linked to us on your Twitter account, so...
I've been thoroughly enjoying the way that the multiplayer matchmaking works and being able to pair up with guys. I played a really good team game and with some people I'd never met before. We decided we worked well as a team, so we paired up for a bunch more games. Absolutely dominated. Then they all left and I ended up being paired up with some
complete idiots who refused to communicate or work as a team, and we got absolutely stomped, and I was yelling at them on the headset, like, you all have headsets. I can see that they're on. Why won't you talk? Idiots. Anyway.
And,
it's still a ton of fun.
And I got pretty wickedly rad with the plasma grenade. It's currently listed as my my weapon of choice. The plasma grenade.
That's awesome.
That's pretty funny.
I did a 25 kill game where I got, I think it was 9 sticks in one game.
Have you guys been playing around with the Needler at all? Because I think the Needler is absolutely fucking awesome in this game.
Oh, Needler has always been awesome.
Needler's always been awesome, but it was like rumored to be the weapon to use.
Well, now it's so powerful that they won't let you dual wield it.
Well, in Halo 2, you could dual wield it. It was ridiculous. Because there was you had tons of ammo then. This time, the only problem is your clip is really shallow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's fun, though.
Also, the effects on the Needler look awesome.
Yeah,
and like when you die and they're stuck in you and then they fucking explode. It's ridiculous.
Good times.
I bought Metroid Prime 3 the other day.
Oh, cool. Who has this?
It's pretty sweet. It's easy to pick up, like all the point and shoot.
I was actually playing it on the stand-up at EB the other day, and it's pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet.
So easy to pick up.
Have you beaten it yet, Matt?
No, now that I've beaten Halo 3, once I'm done with Halo 3, I will play Metroid Prime 3 through.
So, at the ending,
shut up!
What happens,
God damn it! I will spoil Halo 3 for everybody here.
I already know it.
I don't.
Shut up. I have beaten Final Fantasy X.
Yay!
I pretty much rocked the hell out of the last boss.
Did you two-hit kill him? Because it's possible to do.
I don't know if it's a bug in the thing or whether it's a glitch that I found or something, because there's a thing where if you do, was it armor break on somebody and then do Anima's overdrive, Oblivion, it does 99,999 damage.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which will kill anything in the game except for the last boss, who has 120,000 health.
Yeah, so you have to do it twice.
Oh.
And that's it. And I don't know if that seems like a bug, because...
No, it's intentional, because on all your ultimate weapons in the game, you can get the damage, like, the...
Break the damage cap.
Yeah,
you can break the damage cap.
But Anima is only, like, normally, if you don't do armor break, it does, like, 20,000. And armor break usually doesn't help that much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really retarded how much...
I guess that's kind of weird. To be fair, I hit him once with Titus's regular attack, and that did 99,999
yeah.
damage. Then I hit him once with Auron's regular attack, and he died.
I beat the thing with nobody's final weapons. Nobody had, like, I didn't level up my guys that much. I didn't do any. The only extra thing I did after I finished like the main part of the game is I got Anima, which I'm really happy I did.
Yeah,
I did.
I got every character's ultimate.
Yeah, it's fully unlocked. Because that's the thing. Like, what's the point in getting doing all that stuff when it's the actual final boss is not that hard.
Completion! Everybody's ultimate weapon fully unlocked.
It's to be the head of the final boss of the arena
yeah,
monsters.
Yeah, the final boss of the arena is uber tough. Yeah. I had Wacka doing 1.6 million damage every round, and I still had trouble with the final arena boss.
How much HP does he have, that guy?
Like
50?
50 million?
Something. Well, no, the final mark in XII has 50
speaking
million.
Of Final Fantasy, have you beaten the final mark in Final Fantasy XII yet?
No.
Have you beaten Final Fantasy XII yet?
No.
Have
you beaten Oblivion yet?
Ask me if I've beaten Bioshock.
In all fairness,
have you beaten Bioshock?
Oblivion is
yes.
My house.
Yes, I have.
Hey, Grant, how many unopened games do you have on your shelf? Plastic wraps.
One.
Matt, how many do you have?
Over 60.
Yeah,
wait. Ask me which one it is.
Which one?
Bulletproof, the 50 Cent game.
Oh, why haven't we played that yet?
For Xbox.
We need to do some Bulletproof Machinima.
Because my system won't run it, and I really want to use it for Machinima, but it can't run on the 360.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Final Fantasy X was a lot of fun. Unlike some people here, I don't have a huge need to do like the completion stuff.
You're playing it wrong.
And to get Anima, I looked at a thing about, you know, because I assume there's some way to actually find out that the secret place on the map where
Can
you have
I
to
ask
go.
You to start pronouncing it Anima?
Anima. As opposed to Anima?
Anima.
It's Anima. Yeah, it's
Anima.
Anima.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anima.
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 Yeah, that's what Paul's saying.
What I'm hearing is anima.
Yeah, that's anima. Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
It's actually the really awesome part.
That's what I'm saying.
Is when in the final there's the final fight against Seymour, and because anima is actually apparently the aeon of Seymour's mom, which has got to be a weird thing. Because anima is like really scary looking.
Paul is seriously spoiling Final Fantasy X for you right now. By
hey,
the way,
well, hey, whatever.
If you guys haven't played Final Fantasy,
you deserve it. If you haven't played it, you brought it on yourself.
But anyway, it's
not a good game.
But if you but in that like I the last fight with Seymour, I was doing it, and then I summoned anima because it's my most powerful aeon, and I like before I summoned it, I forgot that there's the whole thing, and then I'm like, oh, this is gonna be awkward.
Speaking of awkward, now I'm thinking every time you say it, I'm thinking you like when you're like I summoned anima on Seymour, I'm like, ooh.
Anyway,
were you planning on going ass to mouth?
You guys should if you haven't played it, you should play it. And if you do, then you do that armor break Oblivion trick because it's really handy.
Or just poke it in the face twice with your swords because you'll be playing it right and they'll all have damage.
That's true. If you've spent 500,000 hours playing it,
only 135 in my case.
That's how many hours I spent.
And I didn't fight the final the final arena boss because I got so sick of the game after 135 hours. I'm like, Jesus Christ, let's just end this. I walked up to the final boss and just like die.
I believe
there will be three more Final Fantasy X sequels.
Oh Jesus!
Out next year.
Yeah.
Right? Please, God, no.
Oh, I mean, just to go back a little bit to my Squaresoft rant from last week, they announced three new Kingdom Hearts games at Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, really? One for the DS.
Hold on. Okay, one for the mobile phone.
What?
Okay.
Which is not a surprise,
because mobile phones in Japan actually don't suck. One for the DS, which is called Kingdom Hearts.
You can't even pronounce
the title. 572 over 2 days.
What?
Yeah, nobody knows
Kingdom
how to pronounce
Hearts something
the title.
In a fraction days.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Even IGN can't pronounce the title.
And then one for the PSP, which actually looks like it might be a continuation on something similar to Kingdom Hearts, with no forthcoming information on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Other than the fact that they're making it.
Well, but they're going to melt the crap out of the franchise before they do that.
Yes.
Hmm. Fair enough.
The guy who does the Kingdom Hearts games is currently working on Final Fantasy 13 Versus.
Yeah.
So he'll be busy for a while.
Which apparently actually uses the Kingdom Hearts engine for the battle sequences.
Okay, we're just looking up. Oh, there it is. It was on the last page. Here we go. Looking it up.
There it is.
Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days. 358 divided by 2 days? What?
It's... Yeah.
Interesting.
Weird.
Huh.
We're confused.
I'll play it regardless because it's a Kingdom Hearts game.
It's very
apparently
very
it runs
strange.
At 10 frames a second.
Yeah, well, I'll play it anyhow because it's a Kingdom Hearts game. Anyways.
Okay, so.
I'm now that I've finished that, I'm going to start playing Bioshock.
Nice. All right, let's move on to some questions.
You mean you're going to start playing Pipe Dream?
Askler!
It's a big part of it, but yeah. It's not the whole thing.
I'm playing it on computer, too, so you can do the Pipe Dream with the mouse.
Oh, wow, yeah. It's Pipe Dream with a bunch of bonus features, Morgan.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of the bonus features you played, but...
Yeah, I've played a lot of the part where you have your hand on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole Pipe Dream RPG element.
Yeah. I don't know, I prefer the old school Pipe Dream, but this new one seems neat.
In respects to the question about British webcomics, what webcomics do you read?
The British ones.
We've answered.
Yeah, that was part of the other question. I just read Scarecrow. Right, so that's the only one that I know is British. But
or is this just
we answered
webcomics in general? We answered that in like the first.
No, we answered that in like as part of the original question. Yeah. So. Anyway, so Ninja Gaiden 2, Decapitations, Flying Limbs. Your thoughts?
Awesome. I was sold the game before they showed the trailer because it's Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
Also, you could decapitate people in the first game. Get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that the graphics are way better and the blood is more impressive.
The dismemberment is far more impressive. Yes. I don't know if you've watched the video.
Yes, I have. But it was amazing.
The move where he does the wind thing where all the shuriken fly out and the guys just pretty much explode and blood just drips from the top of the screen is amazing.
It's like a
pretty much buying it.
It's like an old school HK movie, like one of the really like, bloody Sony Chiba movies.
Yeah.
It's like so you work for a software company, eh? It's like, Oh yeah. So yeah, we do game development and stuff. So what's your job? I do people getting dismembered. That's sort of I do. There's a lot of really interesting physics.
I'm the arterial spurt engineer.
Actually, funny story.
It's they use the same engine from BioShock for the water effects. In my except they do it with just with blood.
In my web design course, we do this exercise where we have to go up to the front of the class and show a website and like display what its features are and things like that and say what we think of it, and then the class comments on it and the teacher rips it apart. Well, we're getting to that. So on the day that I was called on to do it, my original plan was to use OneUp.com because I think that it's basically like a video game news site with a back end of all these cool Web 2.0 applications, which I think is really neat. But the day that I got called on to do this, OneUp's two main stories were, and they, like this is on a flash thing that goes across their site with big images and things, was Ninja Gaiden 2 with a big screenshot of Ryu like cutting some guy into three pieces, and the video game breast exam, which was a quiz to see if people could recognize video game characters by their bust. So that was pretty much out.
Which one of the Web 2.0 features is that one?
I'm going to try to take that test.
You could have still done it.
So I used Loading Ready Run instead.
Nice. And how badly did he tear us apart?
Actually, it's the only one he hasn't torn to pieces. He doesn't like the Commodore 64 look, but accepts it as thematic.
Huh. Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
That dick face. It's shove it.
It's because we rock.
All right. Opal Sky asks...
Excuse me, while Matt
dies. It's either Opal Sky or Ukrainian, and it's like...
Opalski?
Opalski, yeah. Or Polish, yeah. Say a rich benefactor sees your videos and likes your work so much he wants to help you out. He offers to make a gift of whatever it is you need or want the most. What would you choose? A piece of equipment? Some cash? If it is cash, how would you use it? Sorry, I'm not the rich benefactor, but if I win the lottery, smiley face.
Oh, damn, because that was going to be my first question was, well, that depends. Are you said rich benefactor?
No.
But I guess not.
Morgan's got a smirk on his face.
Morgan's not allowed to answer this question.
Piece of equipment. Let me think. I think probably cash, because then we could get like a newer computer, possibly another camera.
I guess it depends.
I don't know if they wanted to buy us Universal Studios.
I was gonna say full studio setup would be the sort of catch-all.
Yeah,
I mean, I would probably like have a couple of cameras and some mics and some
office space
and like a full green
camera with some sort of track.
Like a dolly.
My dad is building a skateboard dolly and track.
I can't wait
it
for
over
that.
To Victoria and giving it to us.
That's dope. When? Do you know when?
No, basically when he has free time.
That's still dope.
One of those curved green screens would be awesome.
Mm.
Cash enough to sustain all of our respective lives comfortably for no less than 2 years with enough money to finance the various goings-on
of
the website.
I think that would actually be the best thing. Like, if our living expenses were taken care of so we could
just
do
this and not have to work...
Then we could make it self-sustaining within 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are you saying, like, when you say all our respective... lives comfortably, are you saying that it would be different depending on different people?
Well, I'm just saying, like, all of us $50,000 so that we're not, like, we can cover all of our rent and have money to do stuff and, you know, not
even,
be
you
living.
You don't even need 50 grand.
No, well, 50 grand would be, like, reasonable
50 grand
for a year,
dude,
though.
Yeah.
No,
I
make
that much money.
No, I know. So we would all be well off for a year and not have to worry about
it. I'm well off with what I make now and I'm 30.
Yeah, when I was making 30, I was
more happy. That's more than
well, I'm just saying, you may have been
stop
more than happy at 30, but 50 you would be even happy.
I mean,
depends how rich
this
person is.
We don't even
need
a rich benefactor for startup capital, guys. I mean, seriously.
Sure.
Well,
do you have $50,000?
I don't think anyone's going to invest in us.
Yeah.
It's not like we have...
Plus, if we do that,
we don't have a business model.
Right.
Anyway.
So, that pretty much answers it.
Maybe we should get on getting a business model.
Maybe we get on you shutting up.
Yeah, I think that's
in the event that Bill doesn't return from fighting ninjas, will you tell us his first name as something to remember him by?
No.
Well, possibly.
He'll come back.
What he doesn't know is that I have a picture of his birth certificate on my phone that has all of his various... Because when we went to the States and you guys gave us all of your IDs. So
it's the situation is, before Bill went away... he put a piece of paper that has his real name on it into a special safe deposit box, only to be opened should he, you know, get killed by ninjas. Yeah.
Well, that is to say, though, he also handed me his birth certificate, and I can now unleash the secret at my own, like, at my whim.
Nice.
You're getting ass kicked.
What do you take into account when deciding what new video games to buy?
Whether they're good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I take into account whether it's Dota or not.
Like, in terms of, like, graphics or anything, like, if graphics are awesome, that's good, but I think, like, gameplay is what I'm most concerned about. I've seen some RPGs in, like, the EB that, you know, like, wow, this is a really, really awesome-looking RPG. Like, if it's, like, really pretty, like, one of the games by, like, Atlas or NIS, who just make really pretty-looking RPGs.
And then it would be, like, Star Ocean or something.
Yeah, not all of them are awesome. So, I don't know. They need to be something that's entertaining.
I mean, frankly, most of us are pretty well-connected in regards to video game stuff, right? I mean, like, I know I read several video game sites and blogs and stuff constantly.
Yes, every day.
I cannot remember the time when I have walked in and bought a game that I didn't already know about.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. So,
actually, wait, I can. It was Shadow of Destiny, and that was a mistake.
In my case, pretty much the only requirement is that it is a game, then I'll probably buy it. But
like, I know when I go in to buy a game, I know what I'm buying and why I'm going in.
I'm the same way.
I'm a big single player person. Like, I don't really play multiplayer very much. So if that's like. Usually, like, when it's like, wow, this game has a really awesome multiplayer, does not really make me very excited.
The other thing, most of the time I don't buy new releases. Like, most of the time I will keep a bunch of games on my radar that I'm like, I would like to buy that game, and then I'll wait until it comes down in price, and I'll walk into an EB, see it pre-owned for $15 and buy it.
Which is what I'm doing with Eternal Sonata right now, because it's gone down no less than $10 in the last
Actually,
week.
Right now you're recording a podcast.
What are you?
Waiting on Eternal Sonata. Oh. It dropped $5, then it dropped another $5.
What's
it at now?
Can I get my money back for Halo after the price drop? Can I get my difference back?
Has it been 7 days? It will be 7 days as of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes, you can take your receipt in tomorrow and have Ash do it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Why did they drop the price?
They dropped the price like 2 days after launch by $10.
$11?
Really?
Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Price Seriously? Is $58.87.
Yeah. Wow.
So, did Matt get Morgan off?
I
on that did. Fine he got while riding his bike.
No, although I believe Morgan did contest.
Yeah, Morgan, did you successfully contest your bike fine?
I still haven't even received something in the mail telling me when the court date is.
Which is typical. So basically I did get him off on the fine in the sense that he has deferred his payment of the fine by at least a year while the court process is underway.
Huh.
It's currently not a debt that Morgan has to pay, although he probably will have to pay it at some point in the future.
That's not counting his debt to society.
I have many plans. Well, I just have no intention.
If your debt
doesn't affect my credit, so fuck that debt. Right.
And if your plans are such that you plan to kidnap the police officer and tie him up in the back of your basement while you go to court to make sure he doesn't make the court date, then that's about your only hope.
Speaking of Morgan's future plans, Moses Pippi asks, I listened to today's podcast and started wondering what it would be like if Morgan was ever elected. Then I realized that no party would nominate him. Would Loading Ready Run start the Loading Ready Run Party of Canada just to increase traffic and get Morgan elected, similar to Labatt's Parti Bleu, which ran Jonathan Bleu in Quebec during the 2004 election?
Good God.
If Loading Ready Run started a party, we also wouldn't allow Morgan.
I pretty much wouldn't nominate you know what, Morgan.
For the same reasons that no other party will allow him.
Now, Morgan, there is a... movement to have Cthulhu nominated for Prime Minister once again, and he will of course need people in his party to run.
Actually, my plan is to...
Because you'd have to be crazy to vote for you.
My plan is to join the NDP party and just work with them really, really closely and constantly.
That's like saying PIN number.
Yeah.
The P in NDP stands for party, so NDP party is redundant.
Eat my ass.
Noob.
Anyway.
Noob.
They're so not going to let you into their party.
Yeah, you
eat my ass.
You broadcast their name incorrectly.
Yeah, you've blown it now.
Yeah, it's on permanent record.
Join them. I'm in the Saanich catchment riding. And they're basically a shoe-in in that area. So if I can just be the person running, I will essentially win.
But there was some guy who got them like a really strong following in that area.
I can't remember who that was. I recall that there was some sort of what he had a good tagline. You remember what that was?
Might have been change for the better.
Yeah, no, yeah. Oh, a vote for the better. Yes. Yeah. What was his name?
I don't know.
I think it rhymed with better.
Something, yeah.
Next question.
Yeah.
Who would win in a fight, the Thing or the Incredible Hulk?
Are we talking World War Hulk, or are we talking like World War Hulk can kick the shit out of the Thing.
I think the Hulk, no matter what.
Yeah, I think pretty much
because like the Hulk normally against the Thing, you know, that would be a pretty even fight. But as soon as the Hulk gets angry, he gets larger.
I did see a DC Marvel crossover with Superman and Spider-Man versus Parasite and Doctor Doom. And the Hulk made a guest appearance. And the Hulk punched Superman, and it actually kind of stung. And so I think the Hulk, because I don't think the Thing could actually impact Superman at all.
The only thing that can defeat the Hulk is science.
It's true. Indeed. Are you afraid to drive over the Malahat? The Malahat is a highway near here to go through sort of like a mountainous area to
and,
up island.
The answer is hell no.
Yeah,
it's not even a road you could be afraid.
I was disappointed.
If it's got snow on it, it's deadly.
Yeah.
Frankly, after driving through Kicking Horse Pass in a very large and unwieldy bus with a bunch of Dutch people trying to get us to go faster while passing overturned and destroyed semis.
Highway one. Matt at the wheel.
California's
driving Highway 1. Hey, most hey, terrifying hey, thing
are
ever.
Are you still alive? Yes. Yes, you are. And I dare say I was a whole lot more crapping myself than any of you, because I was at the wheel for Highway 1.
I'm just glad we were going northbound, so we were on
the cliff side.
We weren't on the cliff side.
Yeah, if we were going southbound, I would have been, like, gritting my teeth and shitting my ass the whole way.
Pretty much.
Anyway, my dad does the entirety of the Malahat at 140, so it pretty much...
There's nothing on the Malahat to be afraid of.
I was so disappointed.
The Dead Man's Curve is in Goldstream before you even hit the Malahat, and the Malahat is just like a straight line up and over the top of a mountain and down the other side.
Yeah, it's really not.
It's really not anything.
And you're never near the edge.
Yeah, you're never near the edge.
All right, next question. David Bowie, yes? No?
Yes.
Other?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yes.
David Bowie's
yes.
awesome.
Yep, okay. Oh, yes, definitely.
David Bowie plus Freddie Mercury.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
David Bowie. High def DVD or a Blu-ray of Labyrinth, so that you get David Bowie's package in high definition and surround sound.
I can keep watching Labyrinth.
You can hear it swishing by your ear.
For the record, I haven't watched Labyrinth since I was like 4 years old, and I did not make it through Labyrinth.
Oh, you
and
need
I
to see
never
that movie
ever
again.
Plan
it's
on
so
seeing
good.
The ending. I will not watch Labyrinth.
It's so Mark good.
Here, just, it's a really good movie.
Just while I'm thinking of it too, Castle Cagliostro, very, very yes.
You have
an awesome movie in your avatar. All right. Which would you choose to accompany you to a party? Sting, the famed elven blade that glows to warn the approaching orcs, or Sting, the famed musician formerly of the Police?
It depends on what kind of party we're talking about. Yeah. I mean, if it's an orc party, then maybe I'd bring the, you know...
If it's a party of adventurers, then I probably want Sting. But if it's a party, then I probably
but, you know,
want Sting.
Sting could rock a lot in an adventuring party as well. Mm-hmm. He could be your bard.
It's true.
Yeah, because even there's one of his recent albums. He had a song where he's actually like playing the lute.
That's right.
So Sting, I'd say Sting definitely.
You know what? I would love
the,
to play
the musician.
The musician. Yeah.
I'd love to play Lord of the Rings online with Sting.
All right. If each individual crew member had their own theme song that played whenever they did something individual, what would it go like? Actually I'm going to change this. I'm actually going to completely subvert Dr. Frankenjam's question because I was thinking about something similar the other day. If we were all WWE superstars, what would our entrance music be?
Oh, shit.
Can we steal from other WWE superstars?
Sure, if you want.
I would totally take Vince McMahon's song.
Oh, No Chance in Hell?
No Chance in Hell. Fuck, I love that song.
What's that from?
I have no idea. It's horrible, but it's funny as shit. I love it.
There's some really, really, really stupid.
Oh, there's some horrible music.
For the longest time, you were saying that The Rock should have gone with Apollo 440.
Oh, right. Can't Stop the Rock.
Yeah. Which is a wicked song. It makes perfect sense.
That'd have been pretty entertaining.
What would mine be?
I'm thinking mine might be Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Mine, I think, would be Girls by the Beastie Boys.
Nice. Nice.
I go with Build Me Up Buttercup.
Build Me Up Buttercup?
Yeah, I like the idea. I like sort of the way Ben's going, like, have a really incongruous song.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, where it totally kills the entire mood of the whole thing.
Rodney Mullen. Maybe like a Gregorian chant or something.
I'm pretty sure that's The Undertaker.
Yeah, Undertaker.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But Rodney Mullen, his line of skateboards, everyone has like skulls and fire.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And he has bunnies.
I can't actually remember what mine was. I think it was something like I think mine was also an Apollo 440 song, just because they start out really, really heavy, and you want to have one of those ones that, I don't know, you don't want to have a song
right
that, yeah, you don't want to have a song that meanders in. You want to have one that just starts out boom. So as soon as the audience hear it, they know what
they hear, like the downbeat.
Like Steve Austin's is like the glass breaking, and then everyone's like yeah, or like Undertaker has the gong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark Henry has the worst. What a terrible wrestler. I can't believe they signed him to a 10-year contract. His theme music is it's some terrible hip-hop song, and the chorus is, "Somebody go and get the ass kicked." It's just that over and over again.
Hooray.
A terrible wrestler. Anyway.
I think Triple H, he has the best theme.
Yeah, they get Motorhead to do exclusive songs for him.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Motorhead. It's pretty much all they do these days.
Okay.
All right. Several have been asked, but what famous person would you...
Go back and listen to the other ones.
There's no ad-lib. Who would win in a four-way fight between Abraham Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and Josie and the Pussycats?
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. And under the new movie coming up, who would win in a fight between the character Indiana Jones and the actor Harrison Ford? No weapons allowed.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
All
right. The glass is... A, half full, B, half empty, C, twice as big as it needs to be, D, none of the above, E, all of the above, F, wrong because it's not half filled or emptied with alcohol, 7, yes, or question mark, 42.
42.
All of the above.
Not 42, yeah. Is the answer to the life, the universe, and everything. So clearly it's the answer to this question.
All right. Sure. Are you guys anticipating Smash Brothers Brawl as much as I am? Yes.
How much are you anticipating?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't even. Yeah, maybe he's not actually that interested in
which,
it.
Which characters, new or old, do you see yourself favoring?
Zero Suit Samus.
Mario.
Constantly.
I discovered actually Zero Suit Samus is not her own character.
She's actually part of Samus?
Yeah, it's when you use. Samus now has an ability that takes all the power from the various suit and destroys it in the process. Mm.
Yes.
And then you become Zero Suit Samus.
Yeah, you get this like super overloaded charge beam. And when you overload the charge beam, it blows her suit off.
Yeah.
And she then becomes Zero Suit Samus.
Your beam is so powerful, it blows women's
I'm also interested because I used to actually really enjoy playing Sheik. And it looks like Zelda might not turn into Sheik in this one.
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Apparently they've made Bowser way less suck, so maybe I'll just keep playing Bowser.
Isn't Snake supposed to be cool?
And then there's Snake.
I'm looking forward to Snake.
David Hayter has now confirmed he has voiced Snake in that
game. Oh, nice. Rad.
Nice.
I think Snake, if Snake is in it, he should just be invisible all the time.
I like David Hayter a lot because, like, one, he's rad. Two, he does, like, writing and directing and stuff as well. Like, he wrote the first X-Men movie and co-wrote the second one. Had nothing to do with the third one, the one that sucked. But also, he's an amazing voice actor. Like, he had a conversation with himself in Eternal Darkness, and you couldn't tell.
That was amazing.
He's Canadian, which is cool. And he gave up part of his own wages for doing the voice acting in Twin Snakes because he felt it was important to get the original voice cast from Metal Gear Solid 1, and they weren't willing to pay for it.
Really?
So he gave up some of his wage and demanded that they got the entire original voice cast back.
I had no idea.
And if you look at a picture of David Hayter, he basically looks like Solid Snake.
That's just
like,
what I was going to
say. He would play Solid Snake in a movie.
Yeah, he looks enough like Solid Snake that if they were going to do a Metal Gear Solid movie, didn't cast him to play Solid Snake, the movie would suck.
People would write letters.
But yeah, but I would write.
See a casting call, and they've already said that he's not in contention for the part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
but it's just like it's
what bugs me is like the Hitman movie.
Yeah.
Timothy Oliphant or whatever from whatever is playing the Hitman. The guy who does the voice of the Hitman in the games. They based the look of the character on him. He's an angry, severe-looking bald dude. who does the voice. Like, he could have played him.
Is he good at acting?
I don't know. Well, maybe, I mean, he's good at voice. He's good at voice acting, but that doesn't always mean
the thing is, like, David Hayter actually has acted in stuff too, though. Yeah. Has he not?
So it's, like, it's just not fair though, because he's David Hayter. He's, you know, he's an awesome voice actor, awesome writer, and, you know, awesome actor, and he actually looks really awesome. It's just, it's too much.
Yeah, I've got it.
It's unfair to the rest of us.
I've got a great really soundbite somewhere of him going, "This is Snake," and and just dying. It's awesome.
Is his actual voice that in that
sound? His actual voice doesn't sound a lot like that, but he can put on the inflection so that you can definitely hear it in it. But
The Space Channel was doing their Spacey Awards 1 year, and the guy, the host, went and had a bit with David Hayter. Was asking him about, you know, work that he's done. For example, he's the only Canadian ever to have voiced Captain America, which is kind of funny. And he's like, "Yeah, and I do video game work as well." He's like, "Really? Like what? Like, well, you know, Metal Gear Solid. I do the voice of Snake." "What, really? Yeah. No, I do the voice of Snake." "Oh, well, you got to do that." No. It takes me, you know, hours to get into the role. You know, I have to really commit to the part. And they're doing this interview in, like, a bar. So he's like, "No, please. Like, "All right, fine. Hey, I need a shot of whiskey." "All right, thanks." "John, I'm Solid Snake." It was really awesome.
It's the talk like a pirate method.
Exactly. And last question for this week is where is Graham working now?
You have absolutely no justification.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because he's joined the ranks.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna be getting a better job pretty soon. So suck my balls.
So where are you working now, Graham?
I'm currently working at the Electronics Boutique in downtown Victoria, and I'm enjoying it. So
that's because you haven't worked there more than a year,
and you're meeting interesting people.
I guess I've had people come in who recognize me from the site, which is fun.
So
fun. Yeah.
Although I imagine you have had more.
My best experience at work at being recognized was just talking to someone and two Asian girls like flew at me and started being like, "Oh my god, my god, my god, my god." I was like, whoa, cool down. And I didn't like,
"Who are you? What's going on?"
"And why are your shirts still on?"
Yeah.
Were they?
So, moving on to the challenge. Last week, we asked you, where were you when Master Chief armed his grenade running on the Halo 3 Believe ad campaign?
Which is severely misleading in the context of the game, by the way.
Shush, Matt.
Yeah, shut up.
And Sable tells us that during the when Master Chief armed his grenade, he was watching the intro to Halo 5. As I had been for longer than my memory can hold. During the battles, I had domesticated a grunt, and by a clever arrangement of pulleys, magnets, and a large tire, had been using him to provide power for my entertainment system. Just as the opening was reaching its finish, a UNSC Marine discovered my encampment and in a zealous fit shot my grunt, who I'd named Malvolio, instantly causing a power loss. I still have not seen how it ends. So Sable gets the rank for this week, which we'll come up with at some point, and well played. Next week's challenge doesn't exist, and
no challenge,
and it's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think that is pretty much it.
All right, should we?
I think we should end this.
Should we adjourn?
Yes, but I can't think of anything to say to finish this up.
Get out of my courtroom.
Please don't honor my ass.
Objection.